Hello and welcome back to Tuesday Night Gaming, starring Rob, Zach, Jay, and Matt.
Hey, y'all.
And we have a jam-packed episode for you all today. I'm very excited.
At least one of us is.
I'm excited, too.
At least two of us are.
Jay's been dreading it for weeks.
Two and a half.
So today we are bringing back a draft, and we're talking about Fallout Season 2, Episode 6. But first, we have Rob's Movie Corner, because it's a Rob week, and we're playing Fortnite.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Rob's Movie Corner. That's like a half an hour right there.
See, so much content. It's all for free.
Jam-packed.
I know I have a lot of movies, because it's been snow and ice here. What else does I have to do to watch movies? All right.
I got
Who wants
couple.
To go first? Anyone want to go first?
I'll go first. The kids and I watched Cool Runnings.
Nice. They just qualified.
I heard about that. It totally holds up.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Did your kids try to do the accents?
No, thank goodness, no. They definitely had a hard time understanding what the guys were saying, though.
That's like, why you watch the subtitles.
What? So that you helps can't kids. Read fast enough to read with subtitles. Check your privilege. Wow.
Get good. What's wrong with your education system?
That's how you learn to read.
I think you get the idea, too. No, I liked how they had, I feel like so many modern movies, it's just point A to point B. I like that it looked like, there were all these obstacles in their way. It didn't look like they were going to do it. Then they were back on track. Something else came up. So it was great. And the other movie I watched was One Battle After Another.
Yes. Okay.
So
what did you think? What hot take do you have?
I thought it was okay.
There it is. There's the hot take. Okay.
That's a hot take.
Yeah. Like the trailer makes it look okay.
Yeah.
And it was okay. The one part, I don't want to give stuff away, but the one part that was interesting was the one part I found interesting was like the white supremacist cabal.
Oh yes.
Yeah, like and the idea that like they were all competing. They were all after the girl, all three of them, them and Sean Penn, and it was like a multi, like that was interesting, but it wasn't very long into the movie. It didn't last very long. And I didn't like it was funny that the white supremacists were so over the top. But
oh yeah,
it was kind of like, okay, we get it, like the evil white people versus the wonderful minorities.
I don't think that's what the movie's going for, but
that's 100% Rob.
There's a little bit of that. Yeah, that's not completely inaccurate, but I mean, it's not like they're like angelic, the minorities of the movie, and then like
they're just good looking and do drugs and drink beer and
so cool.
Are really,
I mean,
really cool
hot
people.
Too, to be fair, but
Sean Penn is hot.
Yeah, that like
especially
those
the
weird
end of the
bulgy muscles. Yeah, come on.
Yeah,
that weird gait he has when he walks. Yeah.
What did you think, Rob?
I mean, it's my favorite movie of the year. Yeah.
Wow.
So, I saw it twice opening weekend. Yeah, I'm a fan.
Wow.
So when
didn't
it
you like the
picture,
director you said?
Which it's kind of my favorite director, P.T. Anderson. So. I was kind of in the bank for it anyway, but it's most likely going to win Best Picture. My Sinner just got a bunch of noms about a week ago, but
noms.
I think Sinner was much better than it.
Wow,
yeah. You didn't like it that
crazy
much,
about
right,
Sinners either, though.
I wasn't, but I at least it was like I thought this was very straightforward. Like,
what's wrong with that?
Really.
Well, Sinners,
I mean,
at least
like
it was like there were twists and turns, right?
I think there's a few surprises. Oh, shout out.
What were you, Rob? You know all about movies. What surprised you? I challenge this.
I would say like it zigs and zags a little bit. I mean, it's still like a one long chase scene, but like, oh, I'm getting attacked here. Oh, I got him. just like little things like. Characters like, I don't know, just like, it's like almost like political, but like, I don't know, there's like a character that's like trans for like some strange reason. I don't know. That's fine. But like, then they like
one of her friends. Yeah.
Yeah, and then like that's the character that ends up like kind of like betraying them a little bit, and it's like, oh, I wouldn't expect that. And like, I don't know. Just like, it makes weird choices that I would not expect, and like, usually you just don't have a character so dumb as Leo's character, and I don't know. That's it feels refreshing to me.
Yeah, right. That's fair.
That's refreshing to have dumb.
Yeah.
Flawed okay. characters.
Okay.
So flawed.
Let's move on. Those were the movies that I saw.
Okay, I can go next. I watched a lot of movies. So first we watched a movie called English Vinglish. It's a Bollywood movie about a mom who is not appreciated by her family. They all make fun of her because she can't speak English well. So it's kind of like a status thing. She gets to go to the U.S. for weeks before a wedding to prepare, and she secretly takes an English class while she's there. And the best part is the class is a crew of like misfits, like people from all over the world with all these different backgrounds, and it's fun to see them together. There's a French guy who's like really into her, is like hitting on her.
Is she hot?
Yeah, she's attractive, sure. And at the end, she makes a big speech about, you know, various things, all in English, and her family's so impressed. They were like, wow, we were so wrong about you, Mom. It's a real feel-good movie. I actually would recommend it. Then Guru and I watched Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
Yes, the best one.
The one with the whales.
Yeah.
It was a big hit. Guru was like, I want to watch more Star Trek.
Wow.
Yes.
Big hit. Yes. I couldn't have asked for better. Also, on the Paramount streaming service, like feed, the characters look really old.
Well, I mean, is that a surprise?
Only on the old VHS tapes, you can't. I mean, like, you can tell they're older, but not as much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did seem like every movie was like the last hurrah when you watch it. They're like, no, we're going to do another one. We'll do another one.
We'll just put them all in Picard.
We can't go out in the what's the fifth one? The Final Frontier. Was it supposed to be final? Is that why it's called The Final Frontier?
I think it was. It looked really old in that one. Maybe it looks somehow like even more old than like in six.
Mm. Rob, you probably know more than we do, but I think Matt has told me that's pretty much unheard of to have movies with cast members as old as the Star Trek movies, right? Even in the 80s.
Oh god, there's people here. Yeah. Got one.
Yeah, so Voyage Home totally held up.
It's
great.
There's a guy above you.
Yep, I see him.
I just find them up.
Can't use sniper rifles.
You know that, does Guru know that most Star Trek movies are not like The Voyage Home?
Yeah, I told her that. Well, we watched, we started watching the series. She wanted to do every episode in order, and then I talked her out of it. So we watched the Man Trap, aka the one with the salt monster, salt vampire.
The final episode?
No, the first episode.
No, I think the Man Trap is the final aired episode. I believe.
Are you thinking of the one with where it's the woman takes over Kirk's body?
Oh, Turnabout and Druid, I might be.
Yeah, because that's it. I'm getting hurt. So, So I told her the salt vampire one. That's more like normal. That's more what Star Trek is normally like.
We have a thing behind us as well.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Ammo.
So we watched that. We watched another Bollywood movie called Bad Hi Ho, where the premise is a little strange. It's about a family where the 60-year-old mom gets pregnant. And people have thoughts. So it's more about the kids like reacting to that news. Like they're embarrassed, but then eventually they come around. So yeah, that I hope means congratulations.
Interesting.
Yep. I watched a war movie called Come and See.
Oh yeah. What do you think of that?
It was good. People are like, it's the scariest, most upsetting movie, whatever. I mean, compared to your average Holocaust movie, it's pretty much on par with that. We watched yet another. So you watched a lot of movies. For Spotify guys, we watched This Means War, starring your boy Chris Pine. Rob,
I heard that's really bad. How what would you?
What, I wouldn't say it was really bad, though. I did give it a 3 out of 10. It was just bad. Yeah,
Okay.
What's funny is it's about two spies who are highly unethical. They use their spy like surveillance abilities to spy on a woman to get her to love them.
Ah.
Yeah, I always found that. But it's not like it doesn't like acknowledge how dark that is, I guess.
There's a part where someone says, "Isn't this unconstitutional?" And Chris Pine says, "I invoke the Patriot Act."
The Patriot Act.
That's all very funny. So I want to go for the crown.
Sure, I think we should get out of here.
There's a team behind us. Oh my god.
Yep, we should have follow Jay.
Okay. So
why follow me?
I don't know.
And then the last movie we watched is called 12th Fail. It's of the Bollywood movies we watched. I would recommend English and that one because it's kind of like Cool Runnings. It's about a guy who wants to pass this really, really hard civil servant exam to serve in the Indian civil service, but it has like a 0.01% acceptance rate. So it's about him trying and failing and trying and failing and eventually succeeding, and he finds love along the way too.
Wow.
Yep.
Take that.
All right. That's what I got.
All right, Rob.
Quick list.
People might be rebooting over there.
They are.
Stuff in the theaters. I saw 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple, which
Bone Temple.
The sequel to 28 Years Later, which just came out like 7 months ago. But they're like, they essentially made them concurrently, and Alex Garland wrote both of them, and Nita Costa directed this one, aka the director of the Marvels, everyone's favorite Marvel movie. Jesus.
that Marvel movie comes up a lot on this podcast for whatever reason.
our centerpiece.
Eternals.
Yeah. They got me, Jay.
But it's much better than the Marvels.
Right here. Nice.
Oh, shit.
No, there's Boy Girls Boba Fett.
Oh.
Oh, I almost got
it. Tell him.
It's out
of you, Rob.
There we go. Got him.
There's another one. There's two more outside.
Should I teal?
Sure.
Is there the guy coming around the corner? Or not yet.
Here comes Rob. Here comes Rob.
There we go. Nice.
Yes, Rob. We did it. We're heroes.
Good job, guys.
Get the crown. Get my card. Or read me, do all the good things for me, and only
good
me.
Job, Rob. You are a hero.
That's what they've always said. Yes, thank you.
I don't care what everybody else said about you.
All those rumors are false. Anyway, yeah. So I saw 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple. It's pretty good. I don't like it as much as 28 Years, although there's a lot of people that are saying it's better. It's definitely less crazy. It's more of like a... It's almost like a quiet character study in some ways. It's a lot smaller. It's got a lot of Ray Fiennes in it, who's pretty amazing. He's also in 28 Years Later, the previous one. And it's still a good movie. It's got some like crazy stuff that I can't spoil, I suppose. But it's got a lot of dongs, a lot of hanging dong for all the ladies. And
is that what people come to see? Interested.
Yeah.
Is that where it's called The Bone Temple?
I mean, I don't think it's completely unaware. Alex Garland's kind of like a weird perv, so I think he knows what he's doing. But it's a good movie. It's got like probably some of the best reviews of the year so far. Obviously, it's very early in the year, but it's pretty.
I heard it made like no money.
It made no money, which is concerning because, I mean, a small spoiler, like there's no. You're like waiting. Cillian Murphy, he's supposed to be like a kind of maybe the main character of the third one, who played the lead in the very first 28 Days Later back in like, whenever that was. Yeah. But yeah, so hopefully it still gets made. I don't know.
He was in the Bone Temple or he wasn't in the Bone Temple?
He's in the Bone Temple for like 2 minutes. So like,
is he what people liked about 28 Days Later? I feel like he's just like an everyman kind of.
Yeah, and he, like from what I've seen of him in that one, this new one, he's still playing the everyman. But like, I guess he's like now an Oscar winner, so it's kind of like, you know, still buzzy to be back in the
movie. Ooh, nice. Cat.
I think maybe the reason why I didn't make any money was because people are like, wait, didn't the 28 years later movie like just come out? Why is there another one?
Yeah, I agree. I think like the timing is weird, and like the titling is weird. One's called 28 years later, the other's called 28 years later, colon the Bone Temple. Yeah. I don't know. But
enemy behind us. Enemy behind us, should we kill him?
Yeah.
Sure.
I like 28 Days Later a lot. So I wanted to watch 28 Years Later, but didn't get the chance. I was waiting for it to come out on streaming. Under Attack to the Side.
I love 28 Years Later. It's very... They shoot on, like, iPhones, and it looks, like, very digital, but in, like, kind of a weird, cool way. Mm-hmm. And they do, like, the kind of Matrix-y, like,
let's
have a bunch of cameras around somebody.
The storm's
like,
going to knock them in a second, so don't get too aggressive.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, so that's it for the movie? That's it for the movies, or Jay, do you have one?
I just have one more thing, and I just saw also No Other Choice, which is Park Chan-wook's newest movie, the guy that did. The guy that did Old Boy and Decision to Leave most recently. And it's basically about a guy that's trying to like get a job, and like it's the market's hard, so he starts like killing the other people that are competing for the same job. And it's kind of this like dark comedy little
So it's like more commentary on capitalism again. Seem to be starting that a lot.
By a South Korean director, yes. They do enjoy that. But yeah, No Other Choice. Pretty good movie. Not as good as Old Boy or...
Resume!
we have the card?
Oh, pull it.
Would you say it's worth watching, Rob?
Okay.
Yeah, it's still worth watching. It was expected... that was one of the snubs of the Oscar nominations that got announced like last week. Mm-hmm. People expected that to get nominated for Best Foreign Film. At one point, it was expected to be... nominated. Whoops, sorry.
Rob, no.
I didn't mean to do that. I thought I was helping with the.
God damn it, Rob, we're in the end game here.
But yeah, it's pretty good. All right, that's it.
Okay.
Good. Okay, so should we move? Or Jay, do you have any movies for us, or
no.
Are we moving on?
Movies? Me?
Yeah.
Whether it's TV, whether it's movies.
We do it all.
All right,
only above us. Because... there's one. Oh, there's eight people left.
Oh, wait, guys, get into the circle. The storm's coming.
Okay. All right, we're moving on to Fallout, episode 6 of season 2.
They have some. We start with some planning meetings. They talk about how they can optimize the end of the world.
That's like mad,
dollar bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they know that some of the places are the water is going to fail, so they can like choose who lives and who dies. There's more corporate evil, you know.
Yep. They know the water's going to fail, so they have to choose.
Which is interesting because, I mean, it ties into the fact that Vault 33's water features are multiple water filters have failed over the years. So it's interesting that that was his vault, and yet they still had faulty water filters.
Yeah.
Did they just build other ones? I'm kind of confused by how that works. Like,
they ended up scrapping. Yeah, the Vault 33 ended up scrapping together and figuring out how to extend their lives. But yeah,
it would just seem like before they even they're like, well, this is gonna fail, so let's make another one. Am I crazy? I don't know. It's a weird thought process.
Well, what's also interesting is it takes hundreds of years for it to fail, so that's pretty good. You know, all things being equal, I thought it would be like failing in like a day. Then they really wouldn't have that much of a chance.
People would just leave the vault.
Well, you have to make sure that. Anyway.
Well, you have to get them like fully invested and, you know,
dependent.
Making the feel of direness of like, chaos and confusion. Then it's not even the blood isn't on their hands because you know what? They had 100 years to figure it out.
I mean, I can understand it's like an experiment, but like, I don't know. Just build another one, guys.
It's well, you know, it kind of makes sense that everything doesn't work as planned. Something I never liked about Vault-Tec was that everything is planned. you know, even the crazy, wacky vaults. So House says that he has mind control in exchange for cold fusion, which makes Barb sad. And she cries.
Yeah, she cries so much.
So that was interesting. Dogmeat doesn't help the ghoul escape from the pole.
Yeah, he's impaled and he's going feral.
But
yeah,
and eventually
all the blood loss and everything.
Well, even in the beginning, even right at that start, he's like, rah,
rah, rah, rah,
but he's also been there for a little while. I mean,
yeah. No, I'm just saying that's his problem. That's the ticking clock. It's funny how nobody helps him. I kind of feel like I'll tell you why. So you don't have a feral ghoul in your town.
But they know how to deal with feral ghouls.
They just shoot them.
Yeah. But then nobody tries to rob him and take that ghoul juice.
But then it's also like a commentary on his whole worldview, right? His worldview is you look out for yourself. Now look where that got him.
Yeah, he didn't really have any moments of epiphany when he realized that, though.
Maybe he will after.
Is it weird that he has like a rifle dangling from him and like never uses it? No one tries to steal it. No one. I don't know.
My headcanon is that he just couldn't reach it.
Possible.
It was a little weird.
It's a little tough to reach behind you to grab it when it's behind you and you're dangling.
Also, he could have threatened somebody with it. Be like, hey, you, give me the drug, or I'll shoot you.
Yeah.
So we have a flashback where Coop says to Barbara, were you always a monster when I married you?
Yeah.
That was great. Finally, it's the confrontation. He's been skulking around long enough.
Yeah, so that was nice.
But then we have to wait because we don't see a reaction until later. Yeah.
Well, it's one of those classic, and I've ranted about this before, modern TV shows love to have, like, one character gets a really good zinger off at another character, and then the scene just stops. It's like, well, what happened? Did they just turn and walk away?
That's the fantasy is. The male fantasy is he gets one on his wife, and she can't respond because he owned her so hard.
It's never happened in history,
somehow.
She'd
be like, Cooper, I did what I had to do, okay, for the child.
For Jeannie.
You never listen to me. If you listen to me, you know why I was blowing up the world.
Anyway.
The same thing. And she does do that. She's just like, why? Wouldn't you do the same thing? He's like, well, I don't know, maybe.
He's like, and then he doesn't say anything?
Yeah.
It's like, no, I wouldn't.
The last word.
I wouldn't. But that was a really bad, not to jump ahead of that part, but that was a bad point. Like, would you kill millions of people to save your child?
I mean, isn't that a trope?
So
you're saying unequivocally you would not do that, Matt?
I don't know. I don't think so.
He doesn't know.
I mean, it's not a very realistic situation, but I don't think so.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, let's find some other... You know, it's not. Yeah, no, that's not. I would not do that. And especially because this situation is not. That's not the situation, right? It's not her child or millions of people. It's like she's the one killing the millions of people.
Yeah, but in order to save her one child and make sure her child gets a place in the vault,
or you just not kill millions of people and your child still lives.
But then someone else is going to. Yeah, someone else is going to drop bombs and they're going to die, but now they don't have vaults.
It's like Terminator 3 rules. Like, Judgment Day is inevitable.
Did you get the guy, dude?
Yes, I knocked him down and now I'm running. I think we thought of this. I never liked it. In the old continuity, Vault-Tec was not the ones to blow up the world. And I never liked that change. It's a little too convenient. Vault-Tec is behind enough ridiculous stuff. You don't need to put them behind literally everything.
Do you think it's going to be Walton Goggins, like, ghoul character that eventually destroys the world? Is that what we're leading to?
Like, how? I'm not sure how.
I kind of assume that, but...
Yeah, because I mean, they said it's
as soon
not...
As soon as you see him, you are like, yeah, okay.
Well, yeah. It's all our main characters are responsible for everything of interest in this world.
I mean, we also see him at the end of the when the bombs are dropping, and he's like playing with his kid. Not that that means very much.
Who put the bomb in the bombs?
So, Oh shoot! Yeah. Don't fight these guys. We're in a really bad position. Just let them come down.
I agree, man.
Because there is that mysterious figure they're referencing, but I feel like it's kind of like a red herring. I feel like in the end,
one dropped.
Well, that was like the guy. Not again. Not to jump ahead, but the guy with the glasses who was decapitated last season. Like, they made it sound like he was the one who is behind it all. But that doesn't make any sense. So
well, I don't know if they said he's the one behind it all, but...
Oh, I got me. Kill him, Zach.
Oh, shit.
Ooh, I got Zach, too.
Okay, so we'll move on now. We have Lucy in the device factory. Hank surrenders to her, but he's like, let me explain my master plan. I did it all for you. It's like a recurring theme here.
Yeah, the CW.
Yeah, I lied. I think someone literally... Well, he doesn't say I lied to you to protect you. He says I blew up the world to protect you.
Yeah.
So, for what that's worth. But then we get Thaddeus and Max again. They're back after being gone all last episode.
They were running through the desert that whole time.
Which, you know, we've talked about this before. I love how it's like the games. You can just walk through what looks like Saudi Arabia with no... like protective equipment, no food, no water. You just walk and you'll be fine.
They're not worried about it, so why should we?
Yeah, I also like the line when someone says, we'll sell the cold fusion, then we'll be rich enough to be good people.
That's a good concept. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, me too. I like it's something they haven't brought up enough, but the idea of like, yeah. And it's nothing new, but the idea that like only rich people can afford to be moral, or at least, you know, middle people, middle class
people. People have comfortable lives, yeah.
Yeah.
Is there more shit?
Okay. So next we have the ghoul. He almost saves himself, but then he fails and gets taken by a super mutant. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
I forgot about the super mutants.
He's such a monster.
Hey.
What? He is.
Which is because he looks like a monster?
Yeah.
That means he isn't a part.
Ron Perlman, by the way.
I couldn't figure it out. I was trying to figure it out. I thought it was.
But they didn't like do the scan on the.
They didn't do the scan. Yeah, what's up with that? Terribly mysterious.
So,
hey, what scan?
Why? Why you take that? Give me big. Give me big.
Ask nicely.
Give me big.
I just did. Well, I just like how he was portrayed, where it's all like in shadow and he's hulking around. I thought it was well filmed, that part.
Mm-hmm. So, next we have the more inbreathing support group music video. They have a music video to Uranium Fever or something like that.
That was great. I'm surprised they haven't used that song earlier.
Just waiting for the right moment.
Very, very appropriate.
And I also like that finally it's leading somewhere.
Who's rebooting?
I am.
Me.
Oh, Zach's needed to get rebooted this whole time?
No. So, yeah. So there is a...
And they have the final... They have, like, a dramatic confrontation between him and the overseer.
Betty.
And I liked when he was saying, like, you know, let's just look out for ourselves. Like, that's what our ancestors did, and it worked out for them. And, you know, so I bet it'll work out for us.
Yeah, our ancestors put themselves first.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Great concept. Yeah.
It was
ego to that to everybody, you know.
It's very much, and it stands in pretty contrast to the like golden rule, like be a good person that Lucy espouses so much.
How much she follows through on it is a different question. But yes.
Come on, let's get up to the top of this hill, you guys, and join the battle.
Okay. Okay, so next we have Chet is getting married. She's put it on a poster.
No, without telling him, which is pretty funny.
Well, pretty par for the course for her. Mm-hmm. And that relationship.
Yeah. The super mutant saves the ghoul by using uranium. I guess radiation heals him.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And then he says, I have a grievance against the Enclave. I thought he was going to say, I have a grievance against humanity. Because humanity is what did this to us.
Yeah, like Lucy. Oh,
Yeah, so
oh god,
I don't know if we talked about the enclave before, but they're what remains of the U.S. government.
Oh, okay.
So, and they're one of many factions. So,
okay, yeah, I haven't heard about them before.
Okay.
All right. So yep, we have the poster.
Yeah,
Coop and Barb continue their conversation, right?
Yeah, he won't sacrifice lives for Jamie. We talked about that already.
Yeah. And then Barb you guys need to explain what happens to me, where Barb is talking in the elevator with the guy with the glasses.
Yeah,
the scientist. Like he convinces her to blow up the world, because then he's like, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go to the board meeting and say, we got to blow up the world.
Well, he said, otherwise you're going to get killed.
And your family and everybody.
And else. Yeah, so he's just back with threats.
Yeah. Oh, I see. I
before
guess I
she wasn't was directly, notes. Yeah, like initially, like her plan didn't revolve around her being directly threatened and like just being proactive, making sure her kid gets a spot. But this is a direct and ultimatum threat.
Like Lemmer said, doing this creepy lost thing. Yeah.
And how is this guy still around 200 years later? I guess he got frozen.
Probably, or he became a robot like Howard wanted to do. Maybe took over that time.
But he was in season one, right?
Yeah, I assume
like
he was frozen.
Two episodes or so, yeah.
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 Yeah, and then defrosted or whatever.
And then maybe his head was in like the rest of the show.
Well, maybe synthetic. Who knows?
Yeah.
At this point, anything's possible.
They'll explain it.
I like the fact, to go back real quick to Howard's conversation, I like that he comes to the sober truth of the whole situation and starts chastising his wife over that whole situation after having a crazy debauchery-filled night.
With Hank.
Or Hank.
I don't know how much debauchery there was, but yeah.
Presumably there was a lot.
There was some. There was presumably some.
Okay, so next we have a really good Fallout moral dilemma. Just right out of the games. You know, these mind-controlled people that Hank has don't want to leave. And
well,
they're,
they
like, psycho and violent.
They don't want to leave because they're being mind-controlled. The dilemma was more, this guy's going to kill him unless you hit the button to save him.
Right.
What are you going to do? Lucy, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Well, you put it like that now, it sounds pretty obvious, I guess. But yes.
I mean, yeah, that exact moment, that was the right thing to do.
I like that she tried. She didn't. At first, she wasn't. You know. At first, at least she did.
She held strong for a little while.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, also, the guy was like, these people are like murderers and people in the wasteland. Like, their lives aren't really even worth living. I give them a better life.
That's a little that, yeah. I mean, that's the collective, right? It's kind of like Pluribus, right? Like individually, these people are free, but like useless / bad. But as a group, they can have, as slaves, they can have productive lives and be happy and safe.
Truth. Well, also, it's like in Mass Effect where you can blow up the Reapers or you can repurpose, or you can mind control them.
Yep, exactly.
Exactly. Which is the moral thing to do. I killed them personally.
You killed the Reapers?
Yeah. I bet you did too, right, Jay?
No.
What did you do?
I did not kill them.
Okay.
What did you do?
So
did something worse.
I honestly don't remember what I did. I remember not killing them. I remember doing something different. But
okay. All right, so
I play as a good person in my games.
Well, that's the problem, is what's the good person thing to do in that situation? Nobody knows.
But the game does know, doesn't it? It gives you point, like, you know.
Yeah.
You go towards your right for good decisions. Yeah.
All right. I think we're gonna, so they have the fight. She presses the button.
Mind controls them, yeah.
Yeah. Do unto others what they would have. What was the golden rule say in this situation?
I think it would say don't mind control them. Yeah. Don't mind control them.
Yeah. Lucy would prefer them let her die. get killed by the rampaging Legion guy.
In this case, yeah. Which, honestly, I could see her turning, doing that, but like, at the same time, it was like, well, it's also you're saving them because they're already gonna be mind controlled, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, she could have gotten away with either way. I mean, she's now making them live a life that they under control.
Don't want.
It's weird, yeah.
It's also kind of funny that Hank says, "Who? Name one good person in this wasteland," and then he pulls out the guy from the NCR, who is pretty much a good guy. You know, helped them, helped her, helped the ghoul, right?
So wait, when, how do you mean like, he pulls him out?
Isn't he one of the two guys?
Yes, yes, he is the one who's talking to the birds.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh yeah, here's a good guy right here.
Kind of undermines his point.
A little bit.
Okay, so then we have the flashback with young Hank is getting drugged. And I must say, guys, it's very surreal to see young Hank, who is like a toady, like a little sniveling little weasel guy.
The DH
comparison to
compared to Hank now, who's like a criminal mastermind.
Is he supposed to be like late 30s though? I couldn't decipher what his age is supposed
to be. I thought so.
In the flashback?
It felt like it, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's supposed to be in his 20s.
Oh really? Okay. He doesn't have like Tom McLaughlin from like Dune or something.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe not, yeah, maybe not. Well, they're doing the best they can with the CGI effects. Mm-hmm. So what do you guys think about Hank's whole like I did what I came here to do, take me in? I was very thrown off by it.
I mean, that's probably the idea. Lucy was thrown off too. He's messing with her. You know, let's face it, Lucy is very susceptible to mind games.
Yep, she sure is. Yeah, what happened there?
The suitcase was just the ejector. And he had it in his head.
Fucker.
That's pretty good.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. I didn't understand that.
Yeah,
that
he was the original head.
Yeah, hiding things inside people's bodies. The Vault Tech.
That's how the process would work.
Taking fire from multiple directions, you guys.
Yeah, down here. Got one.
Yep. Okay, person. Shoot.
Got two.
You got people coming in from next to you.
Okay. Actually, they got me. Okay, and then finally we get the dog finds Maximus and brings Maximus to the ghoul. So our characters are reuniting.
That's right. Our tiny, tiny world is staying
small. All tinier. Well, I mean, there's not a whole lot of season left, so I'm glad they're starting to wrap some stuff up.
Okay. Yep. And the dog and the ghoul, yeah, they're all together. I'm impressed that they were smart enough to figure out that Barb was smart. I guess it's not smart. I guess you just knew, right? They store stuff in the heads.
We're playing again?
Yeah, one more. Should we move on to the draft? Any final thoughts? It was good.
I had a lot of good tension, a lot of good back and forth, a lot of exposition on motives, and also just seeing how everything isn't as it seems and it's all intertwined and good stuff.
I like there's a man and his dog poster like referencing a boy and his dog.
We discussed that.
It's just good to see it back again.
The
butt ass getting his back. Poster. Butt ass getting to his office. They are the senior junior vice president.
Instructed by Lisa Joy, who is Jonathan Nolan's wife / person that helped him a lot with Westworld. So,
oh, interesting.
So, nepotism.
Yeah, a little bit of nepotism, but she's on the ball.
She's got the chops for it.
I just texted our judges.
Nice.
We didn't talk about the vault stuff as much, but it was funny when they transitioned to that like 4x3 standard, like old timey
Yeah, that felt good.
Musical, but it's all in his head, so it's like, okay, we can get away with this. It's in his head.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate modern television likes to do weird stuff like that.
Was it me, Rob, or did they also reduce the frame rate? Did they go back down to 30?
Or like less than 24? I think it was normal 24. But like, it's possible. They definitely used some sort of filter, but they didn't go like too strong on it.
Yeah. It definitely felt like they did something with that. Yeah. Mm. I mean, it could have been the grainy filter or what that they added to it, but it definitely felt just a tinge bit of janky.
That could be the case, yeah.
Which part was this? The montage? The uranium?
Yeah,
the uranium support group. Yeah.
Reading support group, yeah. Okay. With
uranium fever. Uranium fever is driving me something.
Zach, do you want to randomize the draft order now? Sorry.
Yes.
I'm way ahead of you, buddy. I already did.
Do you have a randomizing circle?
I used randomizer.org or whatever.
You're my hero.
Uranium fever. There's enemy team.
Cool. So now let us move on to the Star Trek draft. I'm sure our judges will be here momentarily. Zach, would you care to give the criteria and the rules?
I would love to. So it's a snake draft going back and forth. We take turns picking. The rules are we have a Star Trek guest star bridge crew draft. You have to pick for 4 out of 5 bridge crew positions, which are captain. You must have a captain, science, engineering, security, and medical. 4 out of 5, it's up to you. But you have to pick characters from Star Trek, and they have to be guest star characters. And we defined guest star as they're played by an actor who was never in the opening credits of any of the TV series.
Yeah.
Right. So take that as you will.
Zach, can we have pilot as one of the categories?
I don't have any pilots, but I suppose we can add them.
Yeah,
short.
No. I thought. Wait.
You guys didn't need to read it.
Changing the rules already.
I just first officer.
Wait, hold on. I want to make sure we had captain, first officer, engineer.
No, first, definitely not first officer. That's
no, why not? Why
it's
not? Just,
it's not. It's not one of them.
Guys, I texted you the rules precisely so this wouldn't happen.
Precisely because this
wouldn't.
You just said helmsman is now part of it. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
well,
I'm just asking.
I'm just asking.
Captain Science,
you
Medical,
no.
Security, and Engineering.
Yeah, no, we're not making any changes, Matt. Oh, of course the link isn't working because it's old.
You're old.
It's
get with
old.
The times. We want helmsman.
Okay, fine.
He's in Discord, so why
first
isn't he
officer.
Going
we want
officer.
All of it.
Deck officer. Why doesn't he click on Uncle Rob? Click here.
Because that's a different server. We're in siblings.
Oh, dang.
All right, hang on.
Anyway, so, all right, so no flexibility. We'll do it Zach's way.
I defer to what this is a democracy.
It's not a democracy. It's a Zactocracy.
I think we should allow first officer if we allow helmsman. I'm just saying.
We can allow first officer. I just don't have any first officers.
I don't have any helmsman or first officers. So if anything, I'm at a disadvantage.
No, but like, it doesn't matter. Like, if
wait,
just
should we
how about we could do one selection is a wild card choice. You could and you could do helmsman, cap, whatever you fuck you want.
I think we should let our judges decide, but I'm okay with that.
I think we should let fate decide. taking fire.
Okay.
I heard a boip.
Yay, we made it.
Yay, technology.
Yes, your parts figured it out.
Okay, boomers.
welcome our judges, Uncle Robin and Suzanne. Longtime listeners may remember them from our coverage of Star Trek Picard.
Hello.
So our judges, as our judges, we have a question for you before we even start.
Okay.
Which is, I texted the rules, all the positions on the bridge. No need to repeat them. They're now requesting that we be allowed to add a helmsman position and a first officer position. What do you say?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I knew I could trust
by
you.
Add, we mean you're picking four. Just one
still
of those.
Four, yeah.
You're still making four. Just one of those can be a helmsman or a first officer.
And are we still requiring captain?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We're still requiring that.
So people have good ideas for helmsman, but not for other positions. That's interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Well, with that in mind, should we get started here?
Let's do it.
Okay. So I've randomized the order. The order is Jay, followed by Matt, then Rob, then me.
Whoa!
You got the bottom of the draft?
Oh, if I was at the top, you would complain about that too.
Ah!
No, we're getting killed out here.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jay, the first pick is yours. I know we're in the middle of a battle here.
All right, well, I died.
The Power Rangers.
All right, for my number one pick, I am going with my captain. And I'm going with Captain George Kirk, played by our wonderful Helmsworth.
Interesting choice.
He got his ship blown up.
Yeah. Well, hey, there might be a theme to my list.
All right. Should we switch to Dominion?
Yes. Let's do it.
The beginning of a lineage of amazingness. Come on, you have to go with the Hall of Fame pick of George Kirk.
I mean, everyone said he was a great man, right?
That's right.
Following his footsteps, enlist in Starfleet, but he did bring his pregnant wife on a dangerous mission and got her killed.
Yeah, and he spent, what, five minutes as captain?
Oh.
on screen,
memorable.
At least.
Memorable.
The ship blown out.
Okay.
That's what I said.
All right, next we have Matt. Let's move this along here.
Oh, wait, I'm next? I thought Rob was next. Okay, well, I will also take my captain because I don't want to lose him, and I got to him. He's an asshole. He's a jerk. He enforces the rules, but he gets the job done. I will take Edward Jellicoe from Best of Both Worlds.
It's not from Best of Both Worlds, but...
Yes, he is.
Isn't he from Chain of Command?
He might be
Chain of Command.
I think just for that, I should be able to steal him from you because he's also my top pick.
Whatever. I was mixing him up with Shelby, I guess, who was also on my list for captain. But yeah. So yeah, Jellicoe. He hates the, that's right, because he hates the Cardassians. I knew that. I remember that about him. So yeah, Edward Jellicoe, that's my pick.
He won't get along with the rest of the crew. That's me talking shit.
But they'll respect him. They won't like him, but they'll respect him.
Fair enough. Okay, Rob.
Okay, I guess everyone's choosing captain, so I'll go with my captain. I will go with a certain Morgan Bateson, a.k.a. Kelsey Grammer, a.k.a. a captain with a beard.
Ooh, I like it.
From that one TOS episode that he's in for about 1 or 2 minutes.
It's not TOS. Whatever it is, it's not TOS.
It's TNG.
TNG.
Doesn't he blow up his ship like 5 times in the episode?
Hell yeah!
No, I don't think so.
Yeah! Memorable!
I don't think that's fair because I think most of the other captains get their ships blown up.
They all just,
Rachel Garrett.
And he had to do it from an earlier time period, so, it was a challenge.
That's right.
Actually, Rob, I don't know if you were aware of this when you picked him, but apparently there's a lot of, beta canon, books and comic books and stuff about him.
I did Google him a little bit. So yeah, I did. I think he's in Lower Decks for 2 seconds or something. I don't know, maybe longer than that. But yeah, he's
tossed out
in scrambled eggs. Guys is all over that thing. So yeah, it's I'm glad to have him. He's kind of bland, but he has the old school outfits from Star Trek III era movie.
Yeah, the movie era.
The movie era. Yeah.
And you don't mind that Kelsey Grammer is right winger.
I mean, that gives an extra just little zest that he's outside of his element because I think Star Trek's pretty lefty generally.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go next if you don't mind. So I remembered the last Star Trek draft we did. Matt sniped the perfect medical person because there's a lot of captains, a lot of the other positions. So fortunately, you guys didn't snipe him. I didn't find a lot of medical people. So I'm going to snipe the next level of medical science, the emergency medical hologram, Mark II, as played by Andy Dick in the Star Trek Voyager episode, Message in a Bottle.
Damn you!
No.
Damn you!
I forgot about him. That would be good. That would have been good.
That was a good choice. That's on. That was on my backup list.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Now I have the second pick. I know he's going to be stuck because they don't have the mobile emitter yet. But anyway, so.
Oh yeah, that's right. He didn't have the mobile emitter. Terrible pick.
Yeah, on his ship, he didn't need it.
He can be on the holodeck.
Yeah, that's fine. That's not the end of the world.
The sick bay. Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So I guess I'll do my engineering since there's no rush on captain. And there's really one guest star who's an engineering genius. He keeps Deep Space Nine running somehow, even though he's kind of an idiot. And I will pick Rom.
Oh,
Rom is definitely a main character. Isn't he in the opening credits in the later seasons?
I don't think so. Judges?
I don't recall.
All right, well, give me a moment. We'll do research.
Okay.
I don't know that. Do you know whether Rom was a named character?
Oh, that's a really... He was not...
I got it.
He was not in the lead credits.
Wait,
not in the opening credits.
For the entire show, Aunt Suzanne, or just the beginning?
So let's start with his name was Max Rodencheck, which is a great name.
Yeah.
He was not in the opening credits of Deep Space Nine.
No.
At any point?
No. I noticed because that was also on my backup list.
I didn't check it. I probably should have. Okay, Rob, we're back to you. Unless you guys have anything to say about Rom.
Okay, wait. AI overview. Max Rodencheck, known for playing Rom on Star Trek Deep Space Nine, does not appear in the opening credits of the series.
Okay. I mean, I think it's
34 episodes, though. So he was not part of the main cast.
Okay, why is it a terrible pick? He's a great engineer.
No, he's not.
All right, we'll let the judges decide. What?
He's like
we will decide, but we love the smack talk.
Yeah, that's part of it on Tuesday Night Gaming. Okay, so Rob is next.
Okay, I'm like, is anyone gonna get this person? So I'm just gonna get them now. So for my first officer, maybe it's out of left field. I don't know, but I want my favorite character, Harry Mudd, aka Roger C. Carmel, the actor playing. Kind of going back and forth with Kelsey Grammer, like got wacky schemes, and then like Kelsey Grammer's kind of the straight man. Yeah, no. Harry Mudd from the original series, not Rainn Wilson. Series.
Okay, that's it. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh god, no, not Rainn Wilson.
No, Rainn Wilson. We're safe.
Good.
Yeah, one doesn't count.
Well, doesn't he certainly knows his way around a bridge. Doesn't he steal a ship?
He would. I mean, he would be the Dwight of it, but like he would be, you know, fun and like he'd be like. Yeah, just having a bunch of schemes and Kelsey Grammer having to like taper him down a little bit. He's like real Niles versus whatever.
No. Versus Frasier.
I don't know. Frasier. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. All right. So for my next pick, I will take my scientist. She's hot. She's smart. She saved the Enterprise. I will take Ensign Robin Leffler. AKA Ashley Judd from episode
on my list.
Oh crap, I didn't mean to do that. Can you undo that, please, gentlemen? Wow. Yes, she's as smart as Wesley Crusher. And
But she's also
the one that had all those rules. She had like 100 rules.
Yes, well, no, yes. yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she's disciplined.
Isn't she the one who got addicted to the game? First,
they all got addicted to the game. You can't hold that against her.
She was working on the solution to the game and almost had it and gave enough clues that Wesley was able to figure out from there.
Wow, nice, Jay. You know your Star Trek.
I did my research.
So anyway, dude, it's still a terrible pick because she's still an ensign. She doesn't even have clearance to do anything.
Dude, you have a hologram as one of your guys, so give me a break.
Hey, don't be prejudiced against holograms.
Don't be prejudiced against ensigns.
As a judge, I will say that when you promote someone to one of these positions, you can give them the clearance and responsibilities associated, including a new cabin.
That's right.
Okay, very what's important. Up, Jay?
Oh, no, it's all right. I think it's me, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's
you have two picks.
So the funny thing about talking about the holograms, I tried to make an all hologram like list.
That'd be good.
Except for I ended up just with all Chris Rios's.
But he's a people. Yeah,
which is why, I was like, "Damn it!" When you added, the main that the actor couldn't be a main character, I was like, "Damn it!" I was hoping like the wording was like the character wasn't a named character in the opening credits because none of those were. I have a pile in my list. Anyways, my second pick is for security, and we're going with Alexander Rozenko. Worf's kid, who eerily always had like weird shit happen around them, but everyone thought he was good luck.
He's a survivor, that's for sure.
You might not be
everyone
good at fighting.
Loved him, was great personally, but a shit security officer.
Do you want him as the 7-year-old Alexander, or when he comes back as an adult?
I guess the adult one, because then he's actually working.
He actually can do stuff.
But still is kind of not great. I mean, he flooded a whole fucking hallway.
So Jay's going for the anti-team, I sense, on this
one. He's just here to have fun.
That's right.
But, I mean, Worf's kid,
respect the lineage. It's like George Kirk. You gotta respect the lineage. That's right.
Damn straight.
It's all about it's like the JSA legacy.
You know it.
All right, Jay, what's your second pick?
Speaking of, we're going to my engineering pick, which we're going to go to Molly O'Brien.
He's doing an all child team this time.
No,
it's the children or the fathers and sons, daughters.
Yeah. Does Molly O'Brien even become an engineer?
Yes.
Wait, are we talking Molly O'Brien that ended up in the alternate universe and stayed there as like this wild child?
But when she goes back, send her back to the right period where the younger child comes back and gets raised as a normal person and goes to Starfleet Academy to become an engineer.
I forgot about that, Jay. That's great. That's a good point. You don't really see her on screen very much, though, do you?
No. But still, respect the lineage. It must have the chops. You have to trust the chops of a
boy. I feel like you have a ship of Nepo babies, but...
For Alex.
That is my third choice.
Okay, Matt, you're next.
All right. I will take for my medical. She charmed the heart of the doctor. So she must be a pretty good doctor. She's from the Delta Quadrant, so she knows all about that extra stuff. I will take Dinara Pell, the Vidian doctor that the doctor fell in love with.
Wow. Did you have to Google to find her, dude?
I did a little Googling. I mean, I remembered once they pulled her up. Yeah. Judges, you know who I'm talking about?
Yep, I do.
Just judging matters does. I'm just here for comic relief.
And then she gets the phage, so she gets all ugly, and then the doctor's like, I don't care what you look like.
Yeah. And they kind of give her almost like a fake body to make her feel like she's normal again, and yes.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Aww. Do you guys listen to the Delta Flyers, right?
By you guys, if you mean Aunt Suzanne, then yes.
I haven't listened to it in a very long time. I must say, I did stop listening.
Well, yeah, we stopped when they were done with Voyager, because...
Yeah.
I didn't want to hear what Harry Kim had to say about DS9. I was like, what's the point?
Wow.
I know, there were times they barely knew Voyager. They said things I'm like, you might not understand anything.
No, they don't.
You were like, I don't remember this episode at all. This episode?
Yeah, they were more concentrated on their hair. I always talk about that. Okay, Rob, you're next.
Okay. Well, for my medical officer, I'll get the person with the best bedside manner in the whole show. Actually, probably not. I mainly have only seen the first two series in case this isn't obvious, but I choose Joan Collins, aka Sister Edith Keeler, as my medical officer. She time travels Yeah, but like we're saying in this like scenario.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes. Decline. And you know, she's not great with medical equipment at first, but like she's learning the equipment as we're learning it, so we're kind of like in it with her, but she's a sweetheart. She's the most empathetic character. And yeah, she's just lovely.
By the way, Guru and I went and watched The City on the Edge of Forever recently because I'm trying to get her into Star Trek and I figured I'd show her the best episode. And mostly what happens is Spock like works 30 hours on the whole tricorder thing. And Kirk is like, get back to work. We need to figure out what's going on with Edith Keeler. I'm going to go on another date with her.
It's about,
you can watch it again. He's like mean to Spock. It's pretty funny.
It's like 11/22/63. I wonder if Stephen King watched that episode and then ripped it off.
We just started that, so don't spoil it.
Oh, really? I read the book. The book's great. Yeah?
Still don't spoil it.
Wow. I'm talking about reading.
Yeah, I read a book this year, which makes me more literate than like more than half of Americans.
Wow.
Facts.
Yeah. And humble like, too.
Yep, that's right. That's the statistics.
When you retire, you have lots more time to read books.
I like the fact that your version of humble is above half the people. Above half the people.
That's right. All right, good choice, Rob. Does not every time she's on screen, does it get all fuzzy?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, she's very old-timey. Yes.
It's going to be hard to get anything done. But yeah.
Yeah. Do you trust Harry Mudd around her?
Oh.
Well, you know, there's always, you know, it depends on what era. There's, you know, it's a little sexist back in the 60s. But, you know, they had to deal with Kirk, and she did all right against Kirk. So she'll be fine.
Is Kirk that sexist? I feel like that's overstated. Really?
Yeah, well, he's not sexist. He's
sexist. He's just
a man of his time.
Yeah.
Give me some sugar, baby.
He's just a hound dog.
Heavily flirtatious. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Because the women of the universe want him. It's not his fault.
That's right.
Okay. So I'll go next. So I'm going to pick. I might just have both of my picks. So for science, there's a few good options. So Jay, the reason why I did the actor was because I wanted true guest stars. I didn't want, I can't pick Data, so I'm going to pick Lore, for example. But if we can't pick Data, we could pick the second best version of Data we get, which is Lol, Data's daughter from the
Offspring. Oh, damn you!
That's definitely Jay's.
Oh, sorry, Jay. I forgot.
It's definitely on Jay's list.
I forgot that Jay was going for the children.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about this.
He's got options.
So what makes you think Lol is good at science?
Because she's Data, and Data's good at everything.
She's got all of Data's knowledge.
Yeah.
She does?
Yeah, downloaded it.
He downloaded it all into everything. Her.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, I'm impressed by your...
But you have to assume that she'll live now.
I was going to say, exactly.
That's the biggest problem.
She doesn't have a cascade failure.
Yeah, I mean, like... We're assuming, you know, that everyone's going to get along, you know.
Well, that's a different problem.
Yeah. You have to think about that for your bridge. I'm sorry if you didn't think ahead.
I don't think you do. I've never thought about that in these drafts.
Well, okay, obviously, in some of the people you guys are choosing, you're not expecting them to get along.
No.
My guys are mostly going to get along until now, when I'm going to pick my captain, which is a guy who is able to outwit Benjamin Sisko for months, if not years. So he must be pretty good at being a captain. I pick Captain Eddington.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't
he Lieutenant Commander Eddington? But
oh, yes.
Yeah.
He captains his own ship.
Don't say Captain Eddington. It makes it sound like he was already a captain. But yeah.
Yes. Okay. So just to refresh our memory, he was the guy who was former Maquis or something. And yes. And they ended up trying to chase him down
forever.
Yes. and Sisko became kind of obsessed with getting him.
Yeah, that's right. That's why. Yeah. Exactly. I think he was Starfleet. They became Maquis instead of vice versa.
Right. He like betrays Starfleet.
Yeah.
For the uniform.
Yeah. He like kills like a whole colony or something.
Again, Rob, you're up.
Yes. For my final one, for engineer, I have. Everyone remembers this character. It's Rivers the Engineer is the name of the character, and it's played by, I'm clearly a celebrity whore. It's played by Seth MacFarlane doing a cameo in Star Trek Enterprise. He has such iconic lines as "that diagnostic you asked for" and "I ran a pressure test." So, you know, he's real go-getter.
I think he can do engineering. I think he knows which end of the tricorder to hold.
Yeah. I think he's got more experience than Lol.
Whatever, Lol will figure it out.
That's true.
And as an engineer, you want very succinct, direct reporting. You don't want to have to blabbermouth in engineering.
Can Seth MacFarlane take it seriously though? I ask you.
He does in that show. He's very boring and like it's almost like he hates Star Trek. He's so boring. But
wow.
Did you realize?
Obviously, he likes Star Trek.
You didn't watch the episode, did you?
No, but I watched the YouTube clips, and you know, like it was all like 2 minutes of performance. But it's just a weird cameo that I guess it was like early in Family Guy, and yeah, just weird.
Seth MacFarlane loves Star Trek, so
yeah.
All right, so for my final pick, I have a lot of people that I could choose. Tough decision. I think I'm going to leave this person. I'm going to be nice and leave this person for Jay. Jay, I'm doing you a favor by bringing up the helmsman because there's somebody that I'm thinking
of course.
Mm-hmm. That you could take. I will take for engineering. I will take another ensign. I'll take Ensign Vorek, who played B'Elanna Torres and annoy the crap out of her all the time because he was a know-it-all. So I figured if he knows it all, he can take her job and be the best. So
okay, was that the Vulcan?
Yeah, that was the Vulcan.
He's also the one who wanted to mate with B'Elanna Torres. An answer.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he was having Ponfar, dude. Give him a break.
No. Actually, dude, you can tell we're identical because you took two of my picks. What's up, Jay?
Oh, reasonable accommodations.
Well, I had no idea
about in multiple capacities in this case could have been afforded.
Yeah. Well, I had no idea about the EMH. Otherwise, I definitely would have taken that one.
Ah, I've outwitted you the way Eddington outwitted Captain Sisko. Okay, Jay.
Not that identical.
All right, Jay, final pick?
Final pick. All right, I'm going out on a limb here for my final pick. I'm going with a first officer.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with Spot.
Oh, Jay.
Yes.
Spot?
Spot the cat.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
hell yeah. Sit right next to the captain, just chill. And if you think about my whole bridge, they're all kids. They're all going to need an emotional.
Oh, they are. And they all
can tell him that he is a good cat, that he is a pretty cat.
Yeah. And
of course.
Spot in times has sat in that chair and has done a remarkable job.
He sat in the captain's chair?
Early. One of the early Next Generation was Generations when the ship crashes. Spock comes out alive.
He does.
He's quite savvy.
Well, he's got 9 lives.
Yeah, that's exactly. Wow. And just think, all the kids would be so more calm, and George Kirk would be playful, and everyone would just have a grand old time on that bridge, and everyone would be chill.
So, Jay, I was thinking of, I'm surprised you didn't take D'Amora Sulu.
That's what I was thinking of as well.
I thought about that, but we're going with Spot with my first officer.
All right. Thank you. So to recap, let's everybody recap. So my team, I have Captain Jellicoe, Robin Leffler for science, Vorek for engineering, and Dinara Pell for the doctor.
Very good medical team, dude, but not as good as mine.
Who do you have that?
Okay, well, actually, I have everybody's written down, so.
Go for it, please.
So Matt's Jellicoe, Leffler, Pell, and Vorek. Yeah. Jay is Captain George Kirk, Security Alex Rodchenko, Engineering Molly O'Brien, First Officer Spot. And I'm Science, Law, Captain Eddington, Engineer Rom, Medical EMH Mark II. And Rob is Captain Bateson, First Officer Harry Mudd, Medical Edith Healer, and Engineer Rivers.
And while our judges deliberate, let's discuss who was left on the waiver wire. If you guys don't mind, I'll go first. I had Lieutenant Shelby from Best of Both Worlds, Captain Ransom, the captain of the Equinox.
Wait,
wait, wait, wait, wait,
wait, wait, wait, wait. I didn't hear Captain Shelby. Who is that?
You guys don't need to know this. These are just the backup people that we didn't end up drafting.
Okay, so we're going to go on mute, and we're going to come up with a scoring mechanism and announce the winner shortly. You continue to talk among yourselves. I'm going to put you on mute.
Sounds good. Thank you.
So I had Shelby. I had Ransom, the captain of the Equinox. I had Pressman, the commander of the Pegasus.
Yeah.
And then if I was truly desperate, Commodore Decker before he goes insane from the Doomsday Machine. And then for science, I had Carol Marcus and David Marcus and Soren from Generations and Gary Mitchell, who apparently was a science officer.
Well, of course, I would put Gary Mitchell for security because he could just shoot lightning at people.
Well, this is I think this is before he got the god powers. Engineering, I had Barclay, a hologram Leo Brahms, Lieutenant Carey, who was again Balana's, you know, backup guy. Another guy who competed for Balana's job. And then for medical, I had Nurse Agawa, Nurse Chapel, Janice Lester, and then Krell Mousset, who is the crazy Cardassian exobiologist with no morals.
Oh yeah, that was great, dude. You can't do Nurse Chapel because she's in Strange New Worlds.
All right, good. Well, I'm glad I didn't take her. Another reason why Strange New Worlds is terrible.
Another reason not to like it. So Rob,
who did you have?
Oh, I mean, I did have the many extra. By the way, is Whoopi Goldberg as Guinan? Is that in opening credits? I don't even remember now.
No, she's not. I had her too.
Okay. Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I considered
her. I thought she was in one season.
Nope.
I thought she was too.
Nope, you guys are wrong.
Okay.
Okay. No, I don't have any like big backups. I went all in.
Okay.
Jay, how about you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's see. For mine, I had as my backups for engineering, Samantha Wildman, who is also a...
Naomi Wildman.
Naomi Wildman's her daughter.
Yes. Yeah.
Samantha Wildman was science.
Yeah.
Nerd alert.
Yeah. Speaking of... so that was that. I had a whole nother theme going too, if that didn't work, so it was fine. My other captain was gonna be Yates Sisko.
Oh, Cassidy Yates. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good choice. Okay.
My helmsman, if I went with it, was gonna be Sydney LaForge.
she's not in the opening credits of Picard.
Nope.
I don't
see season three.
Oh, all season right. three. I mean, she may maybe.
Does anyone care enough to look it up?
No. My science. I was actually going to have Moriarty.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Keiko O'Brien.
she's like, she can do some science.
Yeah, she can do a little bit of science.
Yeah. And thank God we got this extra one because I had no one for medical. I was struggle busting, which got me into the whole idea of just doing EMHs and holograms, which hence Moriarty coming in there to play as well. Yeah, because I was struggling for those. I could not figure out anyone.
All right, and Zach?
I take it. None of you guys used AI to search.
I did a little bit.
Boo!
Anyway, what the hell?
Yeah, come on, dude. So the ones that haven't been mentioned that I have for Captain, I had Captain Savick, and Dukat.
Okay.
I don't know. He wouldn't get along. For science, I had Human Q, because I figured Q with the powers, like, you can't work with him. But Human Q, maybe you can.
I'm glad nobody tried to take powered Q.
Yeah. I also had thought of Nomad, the Traveler, Icheb, and also maybe Guinan. For engineering, I had Nog, but that's a true backup. I had Scotty's son, Jay, another kid.
Oh, yeah.
Zephram Cochrane or Lily, and then Sonia Gomez, who's the hot girl who spilled hot tea on Captain Picard. I don't know if you guys remember her.
Okay. No, okay. Sounds great. Never get anybody else.
And then for security, I had Shinzon, Garrick, Lon Suter, the serial killer, and my topic, the unnamed changeling from the adversary, the one who's like perfect at shapeshifting.
Yeah, that was on my list as well.
Nice. Yeah.
All right, judges, we're ready for you.
They're still deliberating.
Yeah. Wow. This is quite.
They're working hard.
Well, yeah.
We are close. We are coming up with a creative way of sharing with you. So just give us a couple more minutes. We do admire the choices.
Thank you.
Yeah.
A winner has been chosen, and PwC is auditing the tallies.
Uh-oh, I hope it's not going to be a La La Land situation.
Maybe that's what he's going for.
Yeah.
Do the moonlight, too. Jeez.
So guys, Matt is bailing on us next week, so...
I might not.
Well, when are you going to know?
I think I am.
Okay.
So, do we want to reschedule? So, if we only have...
We'll skip.
Yeah, we'll skip and then do two episodes the following week, which I think will be the finale. Yeah.
It should be.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's 7 and 8. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, so we are ready. However, Aunt Suzanne got up to get another drink because she said, I can't do this sober.
Yeah.
We're almost done.
I know. She's dragging this out. Now you know what it's like in my house.
The Masked Singer?
She is the Masked Singer. No, she's not. That's what you're talking about.
On the Masked Singer, they drag it out, the reveal of who the people are.
Oh, of course. That's what we're doing. So, okay. So I have been given permission to go ahead. So we just... So we will first say we rank the captain's choices. Okay. And number one was Eddington.
Yeah. What?
Number two was George Kirk. Number three was Morgan Batesman. And number four was Edward Jellicoe. Because he's
Are
just
you
a
shitting me?
Yeah, we're shitting you. Okay. Deal with it. Okay.
That's like the reverse order.
But yeah, can you guys please explain yourselves? I want to know,
I will say, Edward Jellicoe had too much of a stick up of his ass to be a good captain. But Eddington was creative. He was smart, even though he didn't play by the rules sometimes. Kirk didn't play by the rules either, so that makes a good... I think he could have been a good captain.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. George Kirk... didn't see much of him, but he could have been a good captain.
Hell yeah.
And he was brave and he was thought on his feet. He was good. Morgan Batesman, he was kind of a stuffy guy, but he could have been good. Who knows? Didn't see enough of him, but he could have been okay.
He had a good vibe. Okay.
Yeah. So that was the captain ranking. I will say, Matt, your other choices were quite good. And so have been awarded, Matt, best ensemble.
What?
So the group as a team gets best ensemble.
We figured that group would work well together.
Oh, now we're talking.
Right.
This is multiple awards. This is Ben's
Jay,
great.
This is over here to find anything nice to say to you with your picks.
Yeah, this is serious business here, Jay.
We gave you the comic relief team.
Yeah. Applause sound effect.
So now one of the next two is the winner. But we are going to say, and I'm not going to say yet which one, but Rob will be awarded most creative use of Harry Mudd and Edith Keeler.
All right.
Bless your heart. Zach was awarded the winner.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Suzanne will explain her thinking because I was just here to
In terms no. of the best team, the best people for each position doing their job, Eddington, like we already said, make a good captain. Lol, you can't argue with her ability to be a good science officer. She had everything she knew to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The EMH Mark II, again, would be a fine medical officer and would have done a great job. Rom as engineering, he was scrappy. I kind of see him like, you know, kind of the MacGyver of the Star Trek world. He would have done well.
He's like a Ferengi Wesley Crusher.
He's a Ferengi MacGyver.
He's a little bit MacGyver too.
Yeah.
So we did have one question, because there's one character who was throughout the shows.
But I did realize he was probably in a main character for DS9. I was like, no one chose Miles O'Brien, but he was probably a main character on DS9, wasn't he?
He definitely was.
Yeah, main character.
Okay, so that's why no one chose him.
Yeah. Totally.
So everyone did great. Well, most of you did great. and very creative thinking back with all these characters. Creative. Very fun.
Thank you. Well, thank you for coming on and judging. Yeah,
thank you, congratulations to Zach. Well done.
Thank you.
You didn't say well deserved. Very interesting.
No, well done.
I just want you guys to know that I would never be competitive and rude to my brother.
No, definitely not.
Of course not. Yeah, actually, I have my brother to thank for it, because I would have picked Jellicoe and torpedoed my own team if he hadn't picked him first.
You know, that could have just switched things, because your secondary choices, Max, were excellent.
Yeah, actually, this is true.
Yeah, you would have liked
that's the only
more.
Difference in the, that was the only difference in the grading between the two teams. Yes.
You guys are crazy. Jellicoe is great. That guy's awesome.
Interesting.
Well, I think it is good to go down swinging with the ship. So you keep at it, Max.
That's right.
All right.
We're going to drop off, but thank you for letting us judge you.
Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you for joining us.
Bye.
That was fun. Bye.
All right. Are we done, or do you want to do questions of the day?
No, we're done. I need to get going.
My bridge was all about the vibes.
Yeah. Okay. You would like Rascals. You saw that episode?
Yeah.
Rascals,
yeah,
where they get turned into kids.
Yeah, and the chaos ensues. Yes.
Yeah,
it's a favorite episode.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us here on Tuesday Night Gaming. Catch us in 2 weeks at 8 p.m. at twitch.tv/mcslanty and group up with us next time.
Bye.
Whether it's TV, whether it's movies, or questions about you. Come for the laughs, come for the banter, come for whatever you choose. To Tuesday Night Gaming, with the siblings and Jay. Listen while they play.